Welcome to episode 122 of Let's Talk with Scoggs. This week I have an insanely talented guest, Devin Kennedy. He is financially savvy. He's very thoughtful and grounded, and he is also an incredibly talented singer-songwriter. He's got like a pop R&B swoony vibe. I really love it. His latest single, Follow Through, is his first release of 2022. But if you happen to fall in love with that song, there's plenty to go back to because this guy was busy in 2020. When I was worried about making my bed, this guy was writing songs. So this episode, we talk about early memories in the industry for him and the person that really helped give him support, encouragement, and some great networking opportunities, what it was like growing up in Los Angeles, and of course, music and what's coming up and what he's thinking and what he's feeling. So this is a lovely conversation. Go check out Devin Kennedy. You can find him all over the streaming services, the internet. The video for Follow Through is adorable. We talk about it quite a bit. So if you want to see what we're talking about, go look that up on YouTube. And in the meantime, here's episode 122 with Devin Kennedy. Devin, where are you today? Are you in California?
I am. I'm in LA. What about you?
I'm in Oklahoma City.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
She's cute. She's very diverse. We get a lot of, you know, tours coming here. I just had a conversation yesterday with a songwriter who I had been given her EP and I like loved it. And then I thought, I'm never going to get to see her live. But when I mentioned I was in Oklahoma City, she burst up and said, I love Oklahoma City. So
that's
I was like,
awesome.
Oh, good. Maybe I'll have a shot.
Very cool.
Did you grow up in California?
Yeah, I'm LA born and raised.
Wow, that never happens.
That is rare, I've heard, yeah. just at least just to be in music and stay here, you know? I feel like everyone's a transplant.
Did your family have any musical background, or was it just by happenstance you were in Los Angeles?
We were in LA just because my parents have kind of always been here since the 80s. They're from New York, but they've just lived out here forever. And my dad did commercial music for a while, like for film and TV, but that wasn't he wasn't really in LA for that necessarily. They love California, you know?
I love that. Yeah. Okay. So born and raised. What are your favorite things about LA?
I mean, I love the weather and I love, I just love being in California. It's just the lifestyle, all my friends are here. It's just, I don't know another way, you know?
Yeah. Well, Samantha and I were just chatting about how she made a big transition. I made a transition in my early 20s from Rhode Island.
Oh, very cool.
Tiniest little state, all the way to LA, fish out of water, didn't know what I was doing, where I fit in, what to do, and I made it happen, and I grew a lot as a young person. LA was very challenging, but also very beautiful. I made wonderful friends there. It's so amazing that people actually get to live there as like little kids and grow up there, so it's just such a different experience.
Definitely very, very different. I was a little bit outside of like LA proper, down south by LAX and everything. So it was a little more of a suburban environment, thankfully. I'm not sure what it would have been like growing up like in the center of Hollywood.
Oh my gosh.
That would have been a totally different world, but that's where I live now. So, you know, I guess I'm well adjusted at this point.
Yeah. I'm so excited to chat. I have so many questions for you. But the first thing I noticed was that you actually released music when all of our lives felt so unstable. So I just want to applaud you and congratulate you for doing that. 'Cause my gosh, I was proud of myself when I made my bed every day and you were like full throttle working. And then I see in 2021, you released music. And now in 2022, we have this new single. So just from the jump, you are... Good job that
you
kept moving.
Thanks so much. Yeah, I haven't been able to keep up on making my bed, but I've been able to do a few songs, so that's been good.
Yeah. And I also noticed, and this is kind of a sidebar, but that you had the wherewithal and the foresight to invest in cryptocurrencies to help support yourself as an independent artist.
Yeah, I mean, I made a decision pretty early on. Well, when I was like 18, 19, I was working full time when I was in college, and Kind of always had the goal of being, you know, my own artist. I was producing for other people and doing a couple other random things. And I made a decision early on that I'd like to try to stay independent as long as possible. I think there's something really special to owning your art. And I just really, really believe that in this music industry, it's possible. So I needed to kind of self-fund my own record label is kind of how it turned out. And for me, with what I was doing at the time, job-wise, and you know how the money was coming in and whatever, I felt like I needed to grow some money to kind of like jumpstart my business. So for me, that was investing in crypto, and it paid off. It was kind of what got me to this point in terms of like self-releasing everything and funding my business, really. So I'm thankful for how it turned out.
Did you have someone advise you to do that, or were you just an extremely mature, grounded, young artist?
I mean, I've always been interested in like stock market or whatever. I just grew up kind of towards the end of high school, was just kind of always researching that kind of stuff. And then my job when I was in college was kind of giving me some stock in the company and stuff. So I was just kind of interested in that world. And then when I had always kind of been investing small amounts of money in Bitcoin because I just thought it was super interesting. And then the price of Bitcoin went crazy, and that helped out a lot, you know. But yeah, I just tried to stay on top of it. Something I've always been really interested in.
I just admire your financial responsibility because I feel like I don't want to generalize an age group or a period in our lives, but when I was that age, that was not on my radar at all. So good for you.
Thank you.
Good for – are NFTs interesting to you at all?
Yeah, I'm super interested in NFTs. I have a few. I'm starting to grow that my wallet, but I actually just started the process of releasing my own NFT, so that's what's next.
Amazing.
For me.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, so this turned into a financial podcast for 30 seconds.
Let's talk about the stock market. Okay?
Oh my gosh, that was so cool. Well, Devin, I might have questions for you later. Okay, so in terms of songwriting, what are your early memories of songwriting? Like, when did that start happening for you?
So like I said, my dad was in commercial music and was kind of just playing a lot of music around the house growing up, and my grandfather was a concert pianist, so it was kind of just around the house. And so I was always really interested in playing instruments when I was really young. I started on drums, and then I transitioned over to guitar and bass. And I kind of always had the goal of being, at least from middle school, always had the goal of being an artist. And to me, like, being an artist and a songwriter kind of one and the same, or always was for at least how I was going to approach it. So yeah, I mean, I have really early memories of songwriting. Even when I was in like kindergarten, I used to like sing little, like I used to like pretend I was in an arena when I was in the shower. Like I was like singing my songs to the crowd, whatever songs they were, I don't really remember. But yeah. And then I joined a band in high school and started doing all the songwriting for that band and producing the band, and then started my solo stuff and kind of just kept going from there. But
wow.
Super early memories of writing some very, very random songs in the shower.
I used to do the hairbrush in front of my mirror.
Exactly, exactly.
But I didn't have any talent. I was just really loud. And then I'm always curious about this because your voice, like just your instrument of your voice, is so beautiful. When did you realize that you could sing well? Like, did someone tell you? Did you just think, like, this sounds pretty good? Like, how does that happen?
So we have some really early recordings of me singing, like, This Land Is Your Land, and some very, very random covers. My dad used to love to, like, bring me to the studio and like, make me sing something when I was way too young. And so I was kind of always just doing it, but I was really scared to sing in front of other people for a long time. That's why I started playing drums first. I just kind of wanted to be like a little more behind the scenes. Like, I'd rather write the songs and then play them live on an instrument or whatever. And then in middle school, I did a school project where they asked us to, or we kind of could do whatever we wanted, but I decided I wanted to create and release an EP with my band. That was kind of like the whole thing, was trying to get it on iTunes and trying to finish the production for the project. And it was a lot of fun. And one of the songs, my band kind of like made me sing it. And I really didn't want to, but I did. And then we played a show and I played it live. And I was like, oh, that wasn't so bad. Like, I'm not really scared to sing in front of people. And then the next band I was the front man for, I was the singer. So it was kind of just like facing that fear. It's always something, I think maybe I always knew that I would end up doing that, but I think I just kind of had to like grow in or grow out of my fear of it, I think.
Sure.
Yeah.
And what sort of music were your bands?
Pop punk.
Perfect.
Like, yeah, we were going for Warped Tour. Yep. I mean, even in high school, we were traveling around California, like on our school breaks in a van, just like playing random shows and playing with other bands and stuff. It was super fun with my best friends in high school. And then it kind of ended up being that I was the only one who was pursuing it like as a profession. And then kind of when we were like 18, 19, I kind of realized that I needed to be a solo artist to really make it work, because I was kind of doing a lot of the work anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you had support from your family. You were like starting to cultivate your own sort of like persona as a singer and everything. So then when we decide we're going to go at it, we're going to do this, how did you decide on what your sound was going to be? I would imagine that takes a while to kind of find your voice, but the like pop R&B, like super romantic and swoony sound that you've ended up with, especially on this latest song, like what are the early stages of that and what did that look like?
Yeah, it was definitely a process. I went through a couple versions of this project before I really like landed on what I wanted to do. I first was in like a very, very pop lane, and then I was trying some rock stuff, and then I kind of settled into this vibe, which I really, really love. But what it was for me is, like I said, I grew up doing pop punk and rock and all that, and I really love that stuff, and it was very inspiring for me at that time. But I really grew up listening to like John Mayer and just very musical artists, even like Ed Sheeran. I just would always listen to in high school, one of my favorites. And I just was never like in a place with my band to do that kind of music. And then when it came time to do some solo stuff, it kind of just felt like the right thing to do. Like, let me make the kind of music that I really love and grew up listening to, and the kind of music for me that's just timeless. And that was what it came down to. But I really loved the rock stuff. And then what really flipped it on me was when I got into college. I took a critical listening class, which is like a ear training music production education thing. And they made us listen to like 80 albums over the course of the class. And it was all different types of genres. And that's what really like made me appreciate like quality of music regardless of genre. Like I used to be much more closed off. And once it kind of opened my eyes to like Taylor Swift and like great pop music, and that kind of really changed everything for me. And that's what brought me into the world I'm in now.
Well, I would invite anyone who's curious to go to your Great Songs playlist on Spotify, because I was listening to that this morning. It seems like a playlist that you made of just songs that like inspire you.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard of most of these artists, so I did my own little critical listening exercise this morning. So I invite everyone to go check that out.
Yeah, there's some cool songs on there.
Very cool and very vibey, like it just all it all made sense to me. Like, it seems like what you're doing, to your point, is what you want to be making, and follow through is just so swoony and romantic and also like trying to better myself. Like that message is really wonderful. So tell me about Follow Through. And I know that video is very important. So just take it away. Tell us all about it.
Cool. Yeah. I wrote Follow Through last year with a friend of mine, Dan Burke. We've done a ton of songs together. And we wanted to write about kind of the sacrifices we all make in pursuit of the things we want. That could be anything really, but for me, it's just keeping my head down and working a lot and realizing that, you know, I don't see enough of family or I don't see enough of friends, and kind of coming to that realization can be really difficult sometimes. So the song is hopefully a reminder for myself moving forward. I'm trying to work on it to be a little more present with the people that I care about, and that personal growth that I'm searching for. It doesn't have to happen alone. You know, it happens sometimes better with other people or when you're having shared experiences and things like that. So that's what we wrote it about. I love the song from the day we did it. It's one of my favorites ever. And I sat on it for almost a year, just waiting for the right time to get it out and finish a couple other songs to put it out with, you know. So we got that going, and then we shot the music video towards the end of last year, and we're in a hot air balloon, you know.
It's awesome. It's so cute. I love it.
Thank you.
To keep the new year positivity going, Audible has created a destination for complete well-being that delivers inspiration, encouragement, and actionable steps that matter to your goals. At audible.com/wellbeing, Audible editors have curated a range of titles featuring experts in a wide range of self-care and self-development categories, from mastering your emotions and improving relationships to getting in shape and finding more success at work and at home. Among the listens are brand new titles from some of the most inspiring, original voices in the genre, including best-selling self-help expert Mel Robbins, who returns with a new podcast called Here's Exactly What to Do. Coach Pamela has created Mastering the Skill of Renovation, which can help you turn the life you dream of into the life you live. Renowned music producer and performer Major, who offers Major Frequency, a revolutionizing journey into the healing power of music. Listening opens up a world of opportunities for discovering insights wherever you are. And these titles can give you the confidence and the motivation to build the life you deserve. Okay, so you're looking for a way to sort of mix up how you hang with your friends. You're looking for something new, something exciting. How about a subscription murder mystery box? That is right. It is one of the most unique games I've ever played. It's a great way to reconnect with friends that you may not have seen in a while. You're going to work together to examine clues, solve different puzzles. It's like having an escape room, but in your own house and delivered to your door. You go through files, there's audio recordings. It is very immersive, very engaging, and you're going to identify murder weapons until you crack the case and catch that killer. And Hunt a Killer isn't just about solving a murder. The game tells an immersive story. You'll learn the backstories of each of the suspects, their complicated relationship to the victim, and you just watch everything unfold as you open the episode, aka the box. And you can even do it over Zoom. Have one of your friends get the box delivered to their house, jump on a Zoom call, and play together. And then one of the favorite things about Hunt a Killer is that there is a spoiler-free community with thousands of members to help you solve difficult puzzles each week and, of course, talk about true crime. Part of the proceeds of every box goes to the Cold Case Foundation, an organization that is dedicated to helping real-life cold cases. So if you want to have some fun, you want to show off to your friends how smart and observant you are, this is a really great way to hang out, reconnect, and have a little bit of fun. Okay, so here's the best part. We have an offer for you. Huntakiller.com/Scoggs. Use code Scoggs, S-C-O-G-G-S, for $10 off your order. Again, make sure to use code Scoggs for a $10 discount. All right, there's been a new mobile game that I've been having a lot of fun with. You've heard me talk about it before, June's Journey. I'm having a great time. This whole storyline is set in a very glitzy, glamorous time period. So all of the little fashion moments for June are very exciting, very cute. And what's happened here is that there's been a murder and we need to help solve it. Every page you're looking for clues and all the artwork is really beautiful. And there's also a little bit of danger, a little bit of romance in the story. It's very, very fun. It's also very relaxing. You know, like sometimes I play the game for like 5 or 10 minutes, take a load off, kind of zone out for a minute, but I'm also solving a murder. So I'm hard at work. And with new chapters every week, there's just always a case that needs my help and I'm responsible for solving it. I'm very invested in this game. So there is a detective in all of us. Find your inner detective. Download June's Journey free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's June's Journey. Download for free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play.
That was definitely a unique experience. We found a way to tilt it on its side and actually shoot inside of the balloon, which I think we found the only guy in Southern California with a hot air balloon willing to let us do that. So,
well, it was meant to be then.
Yes, absolutely, it was.
Yes.
Yeah, and those things are huge too. They're like the size of a football field. It's crazy.
Yeah, like, it looks huge, but it makes it also colorful and juxtaposed to your suit and everything. It was so beautiful. Did you direct it as well?
I did. Yeah. This is my first time directing a video. Something I'm super interested in doing, but just haven't really had the chance to do yet. So, shot it with one of my best friends growing up, Alex Bemis, who I've known for like 12 years now or something. So that makes it even more special to do it with cool people that you love, you know?
Yes. And not to be too nosy, but are you sitting on other songs?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You'll be hearing more about that soon, but I've got a lot coming for you.
Excellent.
In the next few months.
Cause I was listening to it and I ended up going back to your older stuff, and Follow Through is just such a standout compared to everything else, but it makes sense as an artist who's evolving and finding his voice. And it makes sense that that's your favorite song. Cause it just makes me happy, and it's very swoony. It's just very nice.
Amazing. Yeah, you can definitely expect more songs in that world.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm really excited about what I'm wrapping up right now.
Excellent. And then we have something in common, I noticed. I was looking through your Twitter timeline, and in like November of last year, you had said that you're a people pleaser.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, me too. And I struggle with that hard between like, and I'm not an artist. I'm not putting things out into the world really for anyone to like or not like, hoping they really like it. I guess this is the most vulnerable I am, is having these conversations. But as a people pleaser, I have a hard time with disappointing someone in the sense where they think I'm not reliable or I'm a flake, or I'm not a good friend or coworker or partner. But I would imagine that if I had something that I noodled on for months and it was my favorite thing and that I put it out into the world, I personally, the way that I'm put together, I might struggle with that. So I was curious, is your people pleasing around your art, or is it just like more of a personal, it might tie into Follow Through where you're realizing that you need a little bit more balance in your life?
I mean, yeah, I think it definitely ties into Follow Through and definitely ties into the art. I think the tweet, I'm trying to remember exactly what I said, but I think it was something along the lines of like, I've been people pleasing all my life, but I wonder when like the people are going to start pleasing me.
Yes.
and that is more of a, that was more of like a personal thing for me where like, and I think this ties into the song too, but what I found is like, I love people. I want to make sure everybody around me is taken care of and happy and, you know, thinking highly of me. And what I've come to realize over the last few years is that like, not a lot of people think that way. I don't think, you know, or maybe they just don't think quite as highly of me, or, You know, I'm not really sure what that looks like. But what I found is that I think a lot of people that maybe I considered friends don't really consider me as close a friend as I considered them. And that hurts, you know?
Been there. Yeah. Yes.
So that's, I guess that ties in and definitely, you know, ties in with the art as well. But from a personal perspective, like that's certainly what I've noticed, especially with the pandemic and everything. It's been really weird, you know, those people, mm-hmm. those people that were like acquaintances, like that you saw out a lot that you haven't seen in 2 years, like, or you haven't spoke to in 2 years. Those weren't really friends, you know, those yeah. were just, I don't know what you call them, party friends.
Yes. So. Oh, goodness.
Difficult.
Yeah, that's probably a universal sentiment in that regard. Like in 2020, I got married.
Congrats.
I moved to a whole new city, and there's a really good handful of people who were my friends in Los Angeles that I still am close with, mm-hmm. and I saw recently when I was in LA and everything, but there's a lot of folks who I thought were still going to be in my life that, to your point, they just sort of, you know, they vanished a bit.
Yeah.
Not, and nothing dramatic happened, but it just sort of was like, oh, we don't really check in on each other anymore. I don't really know you anymore. And it's sort of sad.
Yeah, it is sad. It's just kind of how life is, I guess. But I
totally.
Feel like when you're growing up, you don't really think it's going to be that way. Like, you think you're going to, like, I remember being in high school and everyone's like, no, you're only going to have like a few friends from high school. I'm like, what do you mean? I got so many friends. Like, what the hell? And I look back now, it's like, I have two friends from high school, you know, like I lost contact with everybody.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting. You don't expect, you know, your adult life to be like that, especially
right.
when you're not like necessarily going into an office every day and you have like these people that you, you know, see, I don't know, every day mm-hmm. working or whatever. Like, you know, I have plenty of friends that I work with and whatever, but it's just definitely way different than you expect it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in terms of friends that you've worked with, do you have memories of when you were just starting to formulate what you wanted out of your music? Do you have memories of the first people that sort of like lent out a hand and said, let me help you, let me connect you with someone, or let me mentor you, and were willing to like share resources?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of friends, you know, separate of music, just friends from growing up and stuff that were so supportive, and family is super supportive as well. But when I was just getting started, I was introduced to a friend of mine, James Maslow, who's in Big Time Rush, and he was doing solo stuff at that time, and we did a lot of traveling together, and it's one of my best friends to this day. And he was one of the first people that was like, hey, like let me know how I can help you. Who can I introduce you to? Who can I, you know, bring you out to meet? Or honestly, just like tagging along to him with like interviews and stuff, just understanding what it's like to be an artist mm-hmm. and how you promote yourself and how you conduct yourself and all that. That was super impactful for me when I was like 18, 19, 20. Mm-hmm. But so many amazing people. I mean, I met my manager through James, and he's also been just a huge impact on me, and just like making me feel like a legitimate artist, you know.
Mm.
Like I don't know if I ever really like thought that I was a real artist until I started working with him. I kind of felt like, all right, well, you know, I'm just making music, and I guess I have some people to listen to it. And when I met him, he was like, no, man, you're a superstar. Like,
yeah.
You know, he made me feel like a real artist. And there's really something to be said for that. It really changed everything for me.
That's making me a little emotional.
I know, right?
To be honest. That's so nice.
We got to send him that clip. He'll love it.
Yes. It's just so sweet, because you do hear about a lot of gatekeeping mm-hmm. of, and I mean, really any industry of, you know, someone being really protective of information or contacts or,
yeah.
you know, not willing to share. But when someone can share and brings you in the fold, it's such a rewarding feeling, I think, both ways, because the person who's learning is feeling all that encouragement, mm-hmm. All of that excitement. And the person who is sharing is also feeling like they're impacting somebody else. And it's all good, yummy you know, feelings. And I'm so happy to hear that story.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the only way to be, you know, back to the other point. I think like the people pleasing point, it's like, I don't know. I try not, at least these days, try not to surround myself with people who aren't willing to, you know, go out on a limb for me and make something mm-hmm. happen just as I would for them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy for you. This is all good.
Thank you.
So great.
Yeah.
And then just in terms of like you feeling like a legitimate artist, I mean, now you're on like New Music Friday playlist and MTV. And so how does all of that feel? Is it like a bit surreal, or are you kind of like taking it in baby steps to just keep it as, seeing it as more of like little rewards along the way and little acknowledgement and keep moving forward? Or do you just like soak in it and are very present?
I mean, I try to be as present as possible. To me, it's a very, with the amount of work I've done and the amount of songs I've made and everything, to me, it's a very like gradual build, and I wouldn't have it any other way. It's all just step by step, and it's a process, and, you know, fan by fan, listener by listener, like that's what I'm about. I want to impact each individual person, checking out the music. So that's been the goal. And, you know, it's been a really encouraging and exciting few years. And it only just fuels me to do more. You know, there's no reason to stop. Like, that's why I'm so lucky to be independent and not have anybody kind of standing in the way of this. But, like, when COVID hit, it was like, well, okay, tough times for the world for sure. But I got 200 songs in Dropbox. So I think time to keep dropping, you know. And that's just, I'm still in the same mindset, you know, just never stopping. I love it so much. I would just never do anything else. So,
well, you came out strong in 2022. Thank Follow you. Through is great. So keep it going.
Definitely.
We play a game on the show called Overshare.
Okay.
It's a way to just get to know each other a little better. It's sort of like icebreaker questions. There are 220 of them. If you would, please choose a number 1 through 220.
All right. I'm going to go for number 77.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Hopefully you don't have to turn too many pages to get to that.
It's cool.
I was going
to
say 219, but I won't do that to you.
I used to do this with picking slits of paper out of a bag, but I changed it to numbers so it feels... So that you feel like you're a part of this, because when they couldn't see me, I felt like maybe they think I'm cheating with what I'm pulling out of the bag.
I have faith in number 77. I think this is the best question of them all.
Okay. Yep. It's pretty good. We've never done this one before.
Let's go.
What is one thing you wish you could do that you probably never will?
Ooh, okay. I'm gonna say skydiving. I like the I like the idea of it, but you will never find me up there.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a similar response of like swimming with sharks.
Oh, yeah, same. You'll never find me swimming with sharks either. Like, I don't really like the idea of swimming with sharks.
I think it looks cool on Shark Week, and they're beautiful animals and they're in the ocean and everything. But I could never get my body to actually get in the water, or like they even put you in a cage or something. I could never.
Yeah,
do it.
I'm not really like a fan of the ocean like that, you know? Like, I think sharks are cool and all, but like, I feel like knowing me, like I would be the freak accident, you know?
Yeah.
I'll be staying away from the sharks and from the skydiving.
Yeah.
But even with the the video when we got the hot air balloon, the guy's like, "Are you sure you don't want to go up?" I'm like, "Yeah, no, man, I'm super sure. let's definitely keep it on the ground."
Oh, great. Okay, one more number.
All right, let's go with number 19.
19. Oh, what superpower do you wish you had? Pretty classic.
Pretty classic. I'm gonna go with. I like the idea of invisibility. I think that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I could just, you know, relax sometimes. no one could find me.
I wish if I had a superpower, and this is maybe says a little bit about me as a person. I wish that if I saw someone who was anxious or scared, that if I just like touched their shoulders and like looked at them or something, that they would just calm down.
Oh, that's a great answer.
You could just walk around all day watching people have like little panic attacks and just instantly calm them down.
We all need that superhero around. I love
that. I don't quite sure what that, like, the name would be in the Marvel Universe, but, like.
We need a whole movie made about that. I love it.
She calms people down.
Yeah.
Okay, this is fun. Let's do one more. Sorry, okay. One more.
All right, number 50.
Number 50. Okay. 50. Oh, did you do anything fun this past weekend?
Did I do anything fun this past weekend? I went to the park this past weekend.
Uh-huh.
And just had a day in the park. Relaxed, listened to music, spent some time outside, which I literally never do. So
throw a little frisbee or anything?
No, actually I did nothing physical.
Relaxed?
Yeah, just sat at the park really. And people watched.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which park?
Sherman Oaks, Van Nuys, something okay. park. Yeah. In the valley here.
Yep. But I was a big Pan Pacific Park person.
Ooh, where's that?
It's by the Grove. It was just in our neighborhood. We would always take our dog. And when the pandemic hit, it was like the go-to spot to everyone brought their own blanket, your own snacks, and you all sat in a circle 6 feet away from each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how we said goodbye to our friends when we moved. We had to like
do it outside.
Do it at the park outside. Yeah. But a park day is lovely.
Oh, yeah. Nothing better than that.
I love a day at the park.
Yeah, yeah. You got to just take it all in, relax. There are people like painting out there with their easels. There's like the Tai Chi boxing class.
Yes.
You know, there's plenty. They got a little bit of everything out there. It's perfect.
Yes. An LA park is worth a visit. Okay. So the last little thing we do is give advice.
Okay.
And people write in questions. And I think based on the one that you have today, I think you're going to nail this.
Cool.
So this is asking for a friend. This listener could use some advice on how to be present and in the moment. They always struggle with that.
Hmm.
Do you have any advice?
Sure. I think for me, it's two things. I mean, quality time is so important, but I don't think it's actually about the length of time. I think it's more about just what you're doing in that moment. So I don't know, spend it with people you love and put that phone down. That's so, so key. I've been actually just turning my phone off when I'm spending time with family, which I always used to just keep it in my pocket and let it ring. And even that is a difference. I'll just put it in the other room and try to just really focus on being there with them and asking questions as opposed to talking about myself. I want to know more about the people that I'm spending time with, and people love to answer questions about themselves. So that's my key to having deeper conversations with people and being more present.
Yeah. The phone thing is interesting. Do you sleep with your phone on your nightstand?
Yeah, I do. But I think this is a new update, but I've got this some kind of do not disturb bedtime thing going.
Yes.
So like after like 8, I think it's like 8 p.m. to 7 a.m. Like only my family can reach me like for emergencies or whatever.
Yep.
But no one from like work or whatever can get through to me unless I choose to look at my texts or whatever. So
yeah,
that's actually made a huge difference, but still not sleeping enough.
So yeah.
Got to be working on that still.
The relationship with our phone is such a like modern issue and how consuming it is. And gosh, I'm so glad I'm not like 11 years old today, just scrolling all day long.
But I was actually having this conversation with somebody the other day, how like we're going to be the only group of people that ever like saw life pre iPhone and life post iPhone, you know.
Yeah.
Like I remember not having access to any of that and just playing video games or,
yep.
or doing whatever. And obviously post iPhone life and post smartphone life is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I just can't imagine also growing up with like an iPad right now is like being like 5 years old with an iPad is like what crazy.
It's insane.
Idea. Yeah.
But if you look on your iPhone, like the phone icon is a phone.
Yeah.
Do kids know what that icon is? Like,
that's
have
a
they
good
seen
question.
A They're, phone?
Probably not. They just know that that's what makes calls.
It's just a shape to them. It's not an actual
it's
thing.
Just a shape.
It got so weird with my, not weird, but I got desperate with my phone and needed boundaries. Mm. I bought an alarm clock.
Wow, that's awesome.
And my phone goes into the bathroom, charges there all night, and that's where it stays. And the effects of the first like 2 months was incredible. Like,
really?
Just less time on your phone, it not being there, like waking up in the middle of the night and rolling over and like, oh, I can't sleep, I'll just grab my phone.
Yeah,
that was a killer.
Definitely
killer. So it's got to be a way.
That's a good call. I might have to try that. I'm the worst at like not being able to fall asleep. I just, mm-hmm. I just stay on that thing and just lay there, you know?
Yeah. So. That was the problem. I was doing the doom scroll.
Yes.
Late into the night of like puppies and recipes. Like I wasn't looking at anything that was going to really get me going.
Yeah. You can't be looking at anything too dark before bed.
No.
Like there was a period of time where I was like reading the news before bed and I was like, wow, I can't be doing this anymore. This is like putting me in the worst mental space before I go to sleep.
You got to put in those boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Devin, this was just lovely. I'm so excited for you. Follow through is a jam and a half, so keep them coming.
Definitely.
But I do want to give you the floor to make sure that everybody knows where to, you know, subscribe and scroll and like and listen and all the things.
Totally. If you want to find me on the internet, please do at Dev Kennedy Music. Anywhere on social media and anywhere you listen to music at Devin Kennedy.
And I'm very excited for whatever you're sitting on.
Yes, I will send it to you. Coming very, very soon. Super excited about it.
I'm very excited. Well, thank you so much for chatting and for being so generous in this conversation. Hopefully our lives will cross again. If you ever want to, you know, promote anything or talk about anything, the door is always open here.
Please, perfect.
And shout out to Samantha for
setting
this up. All right. Well, you have a wonderful rest of your day.
You too.
We'll talk soon.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Of course.
All right.
Bye. Bye.